Any humane and reasonable person must conclude that if the ends, however desirable, are uncertain, and the means are horrible and certain, these means must not be employed. We need to decide that we will not go to war, whatever reason is conjured up by the politicians or the media, because war in our time is always indiscriminate, a war against innocence, a war against children. And this week's opening quote comes from Howard Zinn. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. So I do actually have a topic that I'd like to discuss today, folks, which is unusual for me. I usually come into the shows with a pretty clean slate and just let things flow, but I'd like to focus today on the topic of false flags and how they have affected us over history, because we are seeing so many of these in play now. But before I do that, I'd just like to comment quickly on the world situation, because we are certainly seeing some interesting times in the world today, folks. We've just seen England vote to leave the EU, and as a bit of a shock to most people, the vote actually went through. The people of England have voted to leave the European Union, so we are at the beginning of a new chapter. This is a big spanner in the works for the powers that believe they be, but of course there will be a way they can play this. It'll be very interesting to see what happens to England now, whether it thrives or whether it is purposefully demoralized and isolated and suffers economic hardship due to this exit from the EU. I have no doubt that they have plans in place to make England an example of what happens when you leave the EU once you've joined, but there is a possibility that the people will rise up and take their country back and things may go in the right direction. It really could go in any direction from this point, and it will depend on the actions of the people. One small bonus that has come with this has been the resignation of David Cameron, though it is a sad thing to see him resign. It would have been much better to see him be removed from office and arrested and taken to The Hague and charged with war crimes, but I suppose there is hope that this little turd will be arrested and charged with his crimes somewhere down the track. But it is going to be interesting to see how this is played and to see what steps are taken to destroy England for daring to leave the EU. And I think the future of England very much lays in the hands of the people at this moment. But getting on topic for the show, war in our times is always indiscriminate, folks, and it is always a war against innocence and a war against children. Nothing could be truer than what was said in that quote by Howard Zinn. It really is a stark reality that we need to look at and we need to face. And we also need to face the very real possibility that the wars that we are fighting today have been manufactured and are being fought under false pretenses. Many of the soldiers that are participating in these wars are simply doing the wrong thing, unbeknownst to themselves. They believe that they are out there defending their nations when they are doing nothing of the sort. They are fighting bankers' wars and wars for national expansion of foreign interests, and they're not doing anything to protect their country at all. Now, the only time a nation should take up arms is if its borders are under immediate threat from an outside source. You should never go to another country and bomb another country or attack another country simply because you believe they may be about to do something. And even if they do something, then you should not be bombing countries and cities and children in order to compensate the damage that was done to your nation. This is no way to conduct human affairs, and it's no way to conduct any type of business. And folks, most of the wars that we fight have indeed been fought under false pretenses. False flags have been very, very popular for governments through many, many centuries, and they remain just as popular and are used just as widely today as they have always been. And for anybody who might be unfamiliar with the term false flag, although I don't imagine there would be many, because it is a term that is used quite a lot in modern times, simply due to the amount of false flags that we see. But for those who may be unfamiliar with the term, a false flag attack is defined as covert operations conducted by governments, corporations, or other organizations which are designed to appear as if they are being carried out by other entities. The name is derived from the military concept of flying false colors, that is, flying the flag of another country other than one's own. False flag operations are not limited to war and counterinsurgency operations. Many have been used in peace times, for example, during Italy's strategy of tension. And the reason I'd like to touch on this today, folks, is because these false flag attacks have been used so often in history. And once you begin to realize just how often they are used, then you begin to see how effective they are, and you begin to see that they are, in fact, still being used today. These false flag events go way back in history, folks, at least back as far as 64 AD, when the Roman Caesar, Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus, set fire to Rome and blamed it on the Christians. And you can be sure that there has been a good many other instances that have happened over the centuries that have gone undocumented. For example, there is strong evidence to suggest the Great Fire of London that occurred around, I think it was 1660, was actually set by either agents of the Crown or agents of the already existing banking cartels, and it was done to clear out the slum area in order to form the central business district of what became the core financial hub of London and essentially the core financial hub of the world. And anyone interested in that, I would suggest they just look into the issues surrounding the Great Fire of London and how it really came about and what area of London was actually destroyed and what it became after it was destroyed. But getting to modern history, there are a number of cases that have been quite well documented and quite well proven. In fact, many that have been openly admitted by the powers that believe they be. And of course, there are many others that have not been openly admitted to, but can be well proven just as easily. And I'd like to touch on a few of those as well over the course of the show. Now, there have been a number of these instances which are very well documented, folks. And bear in mind that these events are, in fact, so common that they actually coined a name for it, false flags, because these are standard government tactics and standard military tactics that are used in order to further certain objectives. But looking at recent history, back in the midway of World War I, the event which brought the United States into the war was the sinking of the Lusitania. Now, the Lusitania was indeed torpedoed by the Germans, but the boat was set to go off with a bang. It was actually packed with explosives and sent into a war zone with the specific intention of it being sunk by the German Navy in order to motivate the American people into supporting the war against Germany, which Britain was effectively losing at the time. This event was organized by Zionist influences in the British and US governments who made the deal to get America into the war if the British would grant them the land of Palestine. We did see America join the war, and how did that happen? Well, it happened with the sinking of the Lusitania, which would indicate that this was an organized event. And again, that hypothesis is well supported by the simple fact that the Lusitania, a passenger ship, had its hull packed with explosives before it was sent into the war zone, indicating that they wanted this ship to be torpedoed, and when it was torpedoed, they wanted to make sure that it went off with a bang and sank. There were reports that surfaced that the Germans had actually torpedoed it twice, but these reports later proved to be false. They had only torpedoed it once, and the initial explosion was followed by a secondary explosion when the ammunition stored in the hull went off. And this explosion was, of course, much larger than the first, and it was this secondary explosion which caused the ship to sink very quickly, causing the death of all passengers on board. And so, although the sinking of the Lusitania cannot probably be classed as a false flag in the literal sense, it was most definitely set up by forces external to those who committed the act, and it was set up to happen quite deliberately. In more recent history, in 1931, Japanese troops set off a small explosion on a train and falsely blamed it on China in order to justify an invasion of Manchuria. This was known as the Mukden incident or the Manchurian incident. Many officers were actually prosecuted for this plot when it was later found out that this happened. But this was a very well staged event, and it was an event staged by government in order to justify a political agenda, namely the invasion of Manchuria. Two quite well-publicised false flags were revealed at the Nuremberg trials when a major with the Nazi SS admitted that under orders from the chief of the Gestapo, he and some other Nazi operatives had faked attacks on their own people and resources, which they then blamed on the Poles in order to justify an invasion of Poland. But of course, this information was delivered under torture, as all of the Nazis that were arrested at the end of World War II were subject to torture for several days before they confessed to anything. So although there is a very strong possibility that this event is actually a true account, the fact that it was obtained under torture does, of course, question the validity of the information. And the same can be said for the testimony delivered by Nazi General Franz Halder, who also testified at Nuremberg that Hermann Göring had admitted to setting fire to the German Reichstag in 1933 and then falsely blaming it on communists for the arson. Again, there is every indication that this was a true account, but again, the fact that the information was obtained under torture does put a question mark over the event. And as so many of the scenarios surrounding the information we've got about World War II, even about how World War II was started, is so questionable, one must also question these two false flags. But they are quite well promoted by the powers that believe they be as being true events. In 1939, the Soviet Union's Red Army shelled its own Russian village of Manila and blamed the attack on Finland as a basis for launching the Winter War against Finland. This was admitted to in writing by Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev, and some years later Boris Yeltsin also agreed that Russia had indeed been the aggressor in the Winter War. Again, another false flag attack. And again in Russia in 1940, then leader Joseph Stalin ordered his secret police to execute 22,000 Polish army officers and civilians and falsely blame it on the Nazis. And this has also been openly admitted to by President Putin and also by President Gorbachev. Of course, one would expect such activity from Stalin, who was always a very brutal leader right through World War II and for many years after, well, as long as he was in power anyway. The British government openly admits that between 1946 and 1948, it bombed five ships carrying Jews who had survived the alleged Holocaust and who were travelling to seek safety in Palestine. And the British government actually set up a fake group called the Defenders of Arab Palestine and then had the pseudo group falsely claim responsibility for the bombings. This was done in order to shape world opinion against any resistance the Palestinians were offering by portraying the concept that Palestinian terrorists had actually bombed a passenger ship or five passenger ships carrying Jews that were migrating peacefully. The operation was actually known as Operation Embarrass because it was done to embarrass the people of Palestine. But of course, when it became public, it embarrassed nobody else other than the British government. But this is also a very well documented and quite openly admitted false flag attack. Again, staged by the British government and blamed on the people of Palestine. In 1954, a group of Mossad-run Israeli terrorists carried out what was later known as the Lavon Affair, which involved a cell operating within Egypt, which carried out several bombings against facilities within Egypt, including the US diplomatic facilities, and then left behind evidence intended to implicate Arabs, specifically Palestinians, as the culprits in the attack. One of the bombs actually detonated prematurely, allowing the Egyptians to identify the bombers, and several Israelis later confessed to the crime. Again in 1954, the CIA openly admits that it hired people to pose as communists and stage bombings in Iran in order to turn the country against its democratically elected prime minister. It also dropped leaflets saying, "Down with Islam," and a favourite was blowing up school buses in order to kill a lot of children and have the government seen as responsible, because this always pulls on the heartstrings of the public. This saw the eventual overthrow of the then-elected president Mossadegh, who simply wanted to privatise the nation's oil and remove British control from Iranian oil, which is why this coup was staged. It also saw the imposition of the Shah of Iran, who then constructed the CIA-trained Iranian secret police, who then proceeded to impose 25 years of terror against the people of Iran. And this saw the beginning of the very understandable anti-American sentiment that has since developed in Iran. Again, this event is very well documented. In fact, you can read all about it on the CIA's very own website in their archives. I believe the name of the article is All the President's Men, and it is quite a thorough exposé of what really happened in the 1954 Iranian coup, which was again another government-run false flag operation. In 1955, the Turkish government carried out a bombing on the Turkish consulate in Greece, also damaging the nearby birthplace of the founder of modern Turkey, and blamed the attack on Greece for the purpose of inciting and justifying anti-Greek violence within Turkey. And in what certainly may be even deja vu, in 1957, British Prime Minister and American President Dwight Eisenhower approved a plan to carry out attacks in Syria and blame it on the Syrian government as a way to effect regime change in Syria. As admitted to by a former Italian Prime Minister, an Italian judge, and the former head of Italian counterintelligence, NATO, with the help of the Pentagon and CIA, carried out terrorist attacks and bombings in Italy and other European countries all throughout the 1950s and blamed communists in order to rally people's support for their governments in Europe's first fight against communism. One participant of this quite secret program stated that the mandate was to attack civilians, people, women, children, innocent people unknown and far removed from any political gain. And the reason was to force the people, the Italian public, to turn to the state to ask for greater security. Sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? Italy and other European countries subject to the terror campaign had joined NATO just before the bombings occurred. And during this period, NATO also allegedly carried out terror attacks in France, Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Greece, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, the UK, and other countries. False flag attacks carried out pursuant to this program include the murder of the Turkish Prime Minister in 1960, bombings in Portugal in 1966, the Piazza Fontana massacre in Italy in 1969, terror attacks in Turkey in 1971, the Petiano bombing in Italy in 1972, shootings in Brescia, Italy, and a bombing on an Italian train in 1974, shootings in Istanbul, Turkey in 1977, the Otoka massacre in Madrid, Spain in 1977, the abduction and murder of the Italian Prime Minister in 1978, the bombing of the Bologna railway station in Italy in 1980, and the shooting and killing of 28 shoppers in Brabant County, Belgium in 1985. Not all of them always go through. Of course, not all suggestions are taken up. In 1960, the American Senator George Smothers suggested that the US launch a false flag attack on Guantanamo Bay, which would give the US government the excuse to go into Cuba and overthrow Castro. In 1961, US State Department documents show that the head of the Joint Chiefs and other high-level officials discussed blowing up a consulate in the Dominican Republic in order to justify an invasion of that country. The plans were not carried out, but they were all discussed as serious proposals. And again, in 1962, we saw the quite famous Operation Northwoods, in which a plan was put forth to blow up American airplanes using an elaborate plan involving switching airplanes and also to commit terrorist acts on American soil and then again blame it on the Cubans in order to justify an invasion of Cuba. The plan made it through all levels of Congress and political approval in the United States, but was eventually overturned by President John F. Kennedy. In 1963, the US Department of Defense also wrote a paper promoting attacks on nations within the organization of the American states such as Trinidad, Tobago, or Jamaica, and then falsely blaming them on Cuba. The U.S. Department of Defense even suggested covertly paying a person within the Castro government to attack the United States, namely to approach one of Castro's subordinate commanders and convince them to initiate an attack upon Guantanamo Bay. The very famous Gulf of Tonkin incident that also occurred in 1964, which saw the introduction of the United States into the Vietnam War, is now openly admitted to have never even occurred. There was no ship that was sunk in the Gulf of Tonkin. There was no attack against the United States from Vietnam, and there was no reason for America to ever enter the Vietnam War. The entire entry into that war had been completely fabricated by the United States government. U.S. Congress has also openly admitted that throughout the 1950s and right up through to the 1970s, the FBI had used agents provocateurs to carry out violent acts and falsely blame them on political activists as part of its COINTEL program. In 1970, Turkish forces burned down a mosque in Cyprus and blamed it on the government of Cyprus in order to justify an escalation in the conflict that they were having against Cyprus. In 1978, the German Secret Service detonated a bomb in the outer wall of a prison and planted escape tools on a prisoner, a member of the Red Army faction, which the Secret Service then used to frame the bombing on. In 1984, Israeli Mossad agents placed a radio transmitter in Gaddafi's compound in Tripoli, Libya, which broadcast fake terrorist transmissions recorded by Mossad in order to frame Gaddafi as a terrorist supporter. U.S. President Ronald Reagan bombed Libya immediately after the transmissions were detected. In 1989, the South African Defence Force bombed the police vehicle of an investigating officer into a murder incident, blaming the African National Congress for the incident. In the 1990s, the Algerian army frequently massacred Algerian civilians, blaming it on Islamic militants in order to support their political agenda. In 1994, false flag terror attacks were carried out throughout Latin America and other regions as part of the CIA's dirty war. These are well documented in the United States Army's 1994 publication, Special Forces Foreign Internal Defense Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures for Special Forces, updated in 2004, which still recommends employing terrorist tactics and using false flag operations to destabilize leftist regimes in Latin America. So these are still ongoing government policies, according to their own handbooks, ladies and gentlemen. There were a series of quite violent riots that erupted across Indonesia in 1988, and the ensuing investigation determined that these riots were in fact provoked and started by the military and blamed on the protesters. Several senior Russian military and intelligence officers admit openly that the KGB blew up Russian apartment buildings in 1999 and falsely blamed it on Chechens in order to justify an invasion of Chechnya. According to the Washington Post, Indonesian police also admit that Indonesian military killed American teachers in Papua in 2002 and blamed the murders on a Papuan separatist group in order to get that group listed as a terrorist organization. A well-respected former Indonesian president also admits that the government very likely had a role in the Bali bombings. And folks, there is actually an extraordinary amount of evidence to indicate that the Bali bombings, which saw all opposition to Australia's entry into the war against Iraq suddenly dispelled, were indeed a staged event. This brought about a great deal of new legislation and changes to the legal system in Australia, and the people who most definitely benefited the most from the attacks in Bali were elements within the Australian and Indonesian governments. Macedonian officials also admit that in 2004 the government murdered 7 innocent immigrants in cold blood and pretended they were Al-Qaeda soldiers attempting to assassinate Macedonian police. And this act of terrorism was carried out by the government of Macedonia in order for Macedonia to enter the so-called War on Terror. Going back to July 2001 at the G8 summit in Genoa, senior police officials planted 2 Molotov cocktails and faked the stabbing of a police officer in order to justify a violent crackdown against protesters at the G8 conference. In 2001, the US government falsely blamed Iraq for playing a role in the 9/11 attacks. This is clearly shown by a memo from the Defense Secretary, which uses 9/11 as one of the main justifications for launching the Iraq War, even after the 9/11 Commission admitted that there was no such connection. Dick Cheney, however, said that the evidence is overwhelming that Al-Qaeda had a relationship with Saddam Hussein's regime, and that Cheney probably had information unavailable to the Commission, and that the media was not doing their homework in reporting these ties. Top US government officials now openly admit that the Iraq War was really launched for oil, not 9/11 or for weapons of mass destruction. And despite many previous lone wolf claims, many US government officials now say that 9/11 was state-sponsored terror, but Iraq was not the state which backed the hijackers. And there is an extraordinary amount of evidence, folks, which would indicate that the 9/11 attacks were in fact carried out by elements within the United States and Israeli governments. And you've even got other nations such as Russia and Saudi Arabia now pointing the finger at the United States for the 9/11 attacks as well. And so I think the wheels are falling off the 9/11 attacks, and that is certainly none too soon, as there's been a lot of people calling out for a new investigation into this event for an extremely long time. But look, I think we've reached break time here, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, it really is interesting when you look at just how many false flag attacks have been staged by government just in the last 120 years. It's really quite amazing, because everything that I've gone through on the show so far today has occurred since World War One. And the list goes on. Coming back to 9/11 related incidents, the FBI openly admits that the 2001 anthrax attacks that were blamed on Al-Qaeda in 2001 were actually carried out by one or more US government scientists, and that they came from government departments, and that the government attempted to link the anthrax to Iraq as a justification for regime change in Iraq, and again, to support its illegal invasion of that sovereign nation. In 2005, a former Justice Department lawyer, John Yoo, suggested that the United States should go on the offensive against Al-Qaeda by having their intelligence agencies create a false terrorist organization that could have its own websites and recruitment centers and training camps and fundraising operations. It could launch these fake terrorist operations and claim credit for the real terrorist strikes, and this was suggested to be done in order to cause confusion in Al-Qaeda's ranks. That's a really logical way to stop a terrorist organization, folks. Create your own terrorist organization and launch your own terrorist strikes just to confuse them. But this is, of course, the way the government and CIA thinks. Undercover Israeli soldiers have admitted to, in 2005, throwing stones at other Israeli soldiers so they could blame it on Palestinians as an excuse to crack down on peaceful protests that were being staged by the Palestinians. And we saw something similar in Quebec in 2007, where thugs that were carrying rocks to a peaceful protest were actually identified as undercover Quebec police officers. And at a similar event in the G20 protests in 2009, a British Member of Parliament saw plainclothes police officers attempting to incite crowds into violence. In 2011, Egyptian police looted artifacts from the Cairo Museum and blamed it on protesters in order to crack down on protests in that country. and this has also since been openly admitted to by Egyptian politicians. Also in 2011, there were 57 civilians murdered by the Colombian army and then dressed in uniforms, and the Colombian army then claimed that these were rebels who were killed in combat. And the list of these events just goes on and on, folks. It really does. For example, the head of Saudi intelligence, Prince Bandar, recently admitted that the Saudi government is who controls Chechen terrorists. High-level American sources have admitted that the Turkish government, a fellow NATO country, which would be no surprise, folks, since how NATO has carried out so many terrorist attacks in the past, but it was Turkey who was actually responsible for the chemical weapon attacks that were blamed on the Syrian government. There is a high-ranking Turkish government official who admitted on tape to the plans to carry out these attacks and blamed them on the Syrian government. The former Ukraine security chief admits that the sniper attacks which started the Ukrainian coup were actually carried out by the government in order to frame others. And Britain's spy agency MI5 has recently admitted that it carries out digital false flag attacks on targets, effectively framing people by writing offensive or unlawful material and blaming it on the target. So these attacks are very, very widely used, and they do continue to this day, ladies and gentlemen. Recently in Australia, we saw an attack against Prime Minister Julia Gillard. It was a few years ago when Julia Gillard was the Prime Minister. We saw her being bustled out of Parliament House under a vicious attack that was coming from Aboriginal protesters. Folks, there was no attack against her from Aboriginal protesters. You can look at the video footage and you can see police jumping around, bumping into each other, making it look like there's a great deal of commotion and they're actually protecting her from somebody, but there's nobody there they're protecting her from. Prime Minister John Howard, when he was in charge of what was once the free country of Australia, once claimed that the refugees who were entering the country had thrown their babies overboard, thrown their children overboard off the ship once it looked like they were going to be boarded by authorities. This, of course, raised the venom of the Australian people against these refugees who would dare sacrifice their children. It was found out later that the entire event was fabricated, but was used to bring in Australia's extremely strict refugee laws, where refugees who arrive in Australia are treated worse than animals. If they're not sent to Christmas Island to deteriorate there, they are sent to what are essentially concentration camps in the centre of the desert, where whole families are forced to live for years on end in the most horrendous of conditions, simply due to the government washing their hands of any humanitarian outlook against anybody who doesn't have a birth certificate with an Australian stamp on it. And there are very many such occasions, folks. The London bombings that happened, the 7/7 London bombings, can be well proven to have been a false flag attack. The attack on the USS Liberty as well is one that I forgot to mention that happened many years ago. This was supposed to instigate a war on Egypt and was supposed to be blamed on Egypt. It was actually carried out by the Israeli Mossad, who attacked an American ship with the aim of sinking it. And this also had high-level approval from within the United States government. And you look at the recent spate of terror events that we've seen across Europe and across the United States, such as the shooting in Paris, the bombing in Brussels, and the recent spate of gun crime across the United States, all of these events can be seen to be false flag, staged terrorist events. And again, folks, you always see that the mandate is to attack civilians, to attack people of no real consequence, because this will put the fear of terrorism into the minds of the common man, where people will believe that there is nowhere safe that they can go and they must need their government to step in and protect them with legislation. This methodology is known as Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or more commonly, problem reaction solution. And that is exactly how the government plays the game. And as you can see, this is done in virtually all countries, right across the board, folks. But when you really look at this and you look at the sheer amount of terrorist attacks, like that list that I went through, that is just the short list, folks. Most of the stuff that I mentioned on that list has in fact been admitted to. So you've got to look at what hasn't been admitted to. And then, of course, you come to things such as the Bali bombings, the 7/7 attacks, the 9/11 attacks, and all of the recent attacks that we've seen across Europe, all of which have brought about specific legislation and furthered the globalist agenda. They've furthered the war on terror, escalated the war on terror. They've escalated more support for states such as Israel, which are openly carrying out war crimes, and they have allowed the police state to be built around us. And all of this has been manufactured. A lot of the news reports that you see are not even real, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of the so-called shootings that we're seeing across the United States for the last couple of years, many of these can be seen to have been completely faked, to have had not even any victims. Things such as Sandy Hook, there is absolutely no way that was a real shooting. And we've seen these events repeated time and time again. The Boston Marathon bombing, again, another very, very obviously staged event. And it goes on and on and on. All of the recent shootings we've seen across the United States and across Europe have been very well played and very much a media show more than anything. But the thing is, folks, when you look at this list and you compile all of these events in some sort of order like that and you begin to really look at them, you see the events that have shaped our world into what it is today. It's all of these terrorist events that have happened, all of these huge conflicts that erupted because of it, and all of the legislation that has come about due to these events that have shaped our world into what we see today. So that's why there's no point looking to government to heal the problems that we face, because government is the source of the problems that we face. You know, the biggest enemy that the people have ever faced has been government. All of the main atrocities, all of the war, all the death, all the destruction, all of the terrorist events that have happened on this earth have come from government itself, as this short list indicates. And as I said, folks, this is all stuff that's been openly admitted to, but what haven't they admitted to? What other events have happened that they haven't told us about? And when you look at the world today, you begin to see that it's up to the people to address this situation. You know, folks, I've come onto these shows for so many years and I've tried to alert people to the fact that the world is run by criminals who simply don't have their best interests at heart. These are people who are leading us down the garden path. They're starting wars. They're really mankind's greatest enemy. And that can be seen by that list. I mean, all of these events have been used to justify political agendas, but what political agenda can there be that would justify any of these events? What, because you want to take over resources or move your borders or put forth some legislation or some political agenda? Well, that's not what it's about. What it's about is humanity. So how does this help humanity? It doesn't help humanity. It helps the people in government who want their agenda pushed forth and who want to control and corral humanity to what they believe humanity should be, which is good little subjects to them, good little commodities for them to use and to profit by and to milk the wealth and resources from, to fund them and to serve as stock for their pedophile activities. That's who these people are. You know, none of these attacks that I've mentioned can be justified for whatever political agenda they were designed to promote. None of these can be justified. None of the actions of the government that we see today can be justified. None of these wars that we are fighting today can be justified. None of the actions that we are seeing from our military can be justified. And none of the taxes we are paying to these people can be justified, because this is what they are using that money for. Well, they're not really. They're not even using your taxes to fund war, folks. They're using your taxes to keep you on the treadmill. The money that they're using to fund war is money that they just make up from thin air. But look, when you see all of this, folks, it surely must motivate you into action. When you see the sheer amount of atrocities that our government has carried out against the population in order to further its own agendas, then you surely must see the need for you to act. You know, the world is indeed run by the most insane criminals that we could ever have in positions of power. It really is, folks, and it has been for a very long time. You know, just those NATO attacks that I went through in the 1950s through to the 1970s, these are attacks that were performed by NATO itself in order to consolidate its own power. Now, Europe had just gone through an incredible war which had devastated the country and impoverished so many of the people. And this war had been completely contrived, and then at the end of that war, they saw how much they could profit by consolidating their power and promoting this military mindset and this global military industrial complex, which is what they did. And it's about time we called it, because all of these attacks are being staged against the people by the government. Yeah, how often do you see a terrorist attack staged at the government? How often do you see a prime minister attacked? The only prime ministers you see attacked are like the Italian prime minister, who was actually kidnapped and shot and killed by NATO. So when do you see any of these terrorist cells actually taking out the people who are threatening them, which is the leaders of the countries? They don't. It's always in a school or in a theatre or a school bus or a shopping centre or somewhere where people are affected. So it is the people who are terrorised. So it is the people who will turn to their government for more protection, which means more police and more loss of rights for the people, which is exactly what the government wants, which is why the government stages these terror attacks. And this is a global cabal, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the amount of governments that do this. Now, the amount of people that I just went through on that list, the amount of countries that participate in these activities and continue to participate in these activities, the Lint Cafe event that happened in Sydney a couple of years ago, this was completely staged. The police were there the night before. They were already ready for it. They probably just brought this guy in and set the whole thing up as an event and probably did the shootings themselves. It's almost certain that the people who died were killed by police gunfire when they just went in and started shooting, and there was probably no reason for them to even do it because the so-called terrorist was probably simply a patsy that they brought in there. Now, all of these events are staged, and they're all staged for a specific purpose, folks. The Port Arthur massacre in Tasmania was provably staged by the Australian federal government. There is no way Martin Bryant carried out that attack. And again, this was used to further a political agenda to remove the last line of defence from the Australian people, which is what they're attempting to do with these shootings in the United States now. There is, of course, every suggestion going out from the United States government that they should follow Australia's example and disarm their populace. But, of course, we know that this is simply the government's way of removing the people of any defence they may have against the criminal empire, this international criminal cabal that has infiltrated the entire global political mechanism has constructed. But folks, I wanted to read through this list of terror attacks that have been staged by governments just in the last century. And I wanted to read this on the show today just to show people how common these events are and to perhaps give people out there who are awake some sort of ammunition that they can just show to their friends. Perhaps they can play this to their friends. Perhaps they can just write the list out or whatever. Just let people know just how common these events are. And when you look at the world today, what would ever give you cause to believe that these events are not being staged the way they always have been? I mean, look around you at the people of the world. You know, who do you know who wants to go and blow people up? Who do you know who wants war? There isn't anybody in any country who want war. And who suffers in all of these wars? In all of these wars, how come the government buildings and all of the weapons manufacturing facilities aren't taken out straight away? When you go and bomb another country, if it is attacking you, how come you don't go and bomb the government? How come you go and carpet bomb the city and kill all the civilians? Because that's what they do. They might say, oh, we're taking out a weapons plant or this or that. Usually they take out infrastructure which is there for the people. In a recent attack against Gaza Strip, the aggression that Israel launched in 2014, they took out the power plant, they took out all the water facilities and all of this sort of stuff. They said it was terrorist infrastructure because they just called the government a terrorist organization because they're against us, so they must be a terrorist government, so we can take out anything which is government related, which means we can take out all the infrastructure. This gives them the ability to commit war crimes under this new twisted logic that they're using. And this is what they do in all of these wars, folks. As said in the opening quote on this show, all of the wars that we see today are indiscriminate. They are wars against civilians, wars against people, wars against children. They're never wars against government. They're never wars against the mechanism that is running the aggression. They're always wars against the people, and they always begin with a loss of human life in a staged event, and that event is used to escalate a further loss in human life. And that's what our governments do. That's what they do every day, time and time again. They go to work and they sit down and they plot how to create more of this mayhem and how to create more control and how to take more rights away from the people, how to milk more wealth from the people, and how to more serve their banker masters. That's the global situation that we've got. And if we don't do something about this, then what sort of a reality are we allowing to be created for our children? You know, like I said, folks, that's just the short list of false flag attacks. There's things that I didn't even mention that should be on that list, but they are ones that have been mainly admitted to. Of course, there are a lot more that have not been admitted to. But the reality is, folks, that you can be almost guaranteed that when you see a major terrorist event or a major military event which is world-changing, then it has been constructed and it has been manufactured and it has been orchestrated in such a way as to achieve a progression of whatever political agenda has been put on whatever table planned the event. Now, humankind is being played like a fiddle, and there is a great awakening happening on this earth, but people are still not really knowing what to do with the information that they've got. But really what they've got to do is, as I've said so often, they've got to step into their power, and they've got to realize what we're dealing with here, and they've got to stand up and call it. Now, just that list of attacks that I've given you there should show you that these people are criminals. All of these people are criminals. It's good to see that David Cameron's out of office now, but who's going to take his place? I mean, him resigning, it's simply a token gesture. It doesn't mean anything. You've still got the same criminal system in place. You've still got the same wars being waged. And you've still got the same media just selling this lie and spinning this rubbish to the world, manufacturing their news stories and just promoting the system and promoting the slavery grid and allowing it to continue. You know, I hope to see the whole EU fall apart. I'd like to see all the countries go back to what they were and take a little bit of stock and take a little bit of control of themselves and get out of this corporate monetary system that is milking them dry. They've got to kick these Rothschilds out, kick these central banks out and get back to something of some sanity, because we certainly don't have it in the world today. We don't see anything sane from these governments. We don't see anything sane from this military or financial system. There's nothing sane about this society at all. And I think the world is beginning to realize that because things are beginning to change. You know, everywhere I go, people are just feeling weird at the moment. It's just strange. A lot of people are very on edge, and there's just a certain weirdness in the air. I think most of the world has just simply had enough of what's going on. I think it may be that the tide is actually going to turn very soon. The thing is, we have so much information now, folks, and we have so much ammunition at our fingertips in as much as knowledge and real documentation and admissions of criminal activity. We have so much information now and so much opportunity to prove that this world is run by criminals that it must be a time of great motivation for people. You know, we have everything we need to simply down tools and call this whole mechanism out for what it is. Again, I'm trying to organize a international strike for April 15th, 2017. So whoever wants to be involved with that, please get in touch with me and we'll set up a website and we'll do what we can to promote this. But we have so much at our fingertips now, folks. We have so much information. We have so many tools at our disposal and so much opportunity to turn the world into a different place, to change the direction the ship of state is sailing, to actually rein it back under control. We can identify that the world is run by criminals, and we can identify who those criminals are. And it doesn't matter what legislation they may have put in place to protect them from prosecution, because it's invalid. They're all war criminals. It's invalid, folks. It doesn't matter. Just because someone writes something down on a piece of paper, it doesn't make it law, especially if what they wrote down is designed to protect themselves from criminal prosecution and designed to allow their own criminal activity to continue. This is not acceptable. This is not law. It shouldn't even pretend to be law, and we should not pretend it's law either. But we have everything we need now, folks, and we can identify that it is these people, our governments themselves, and those who've operated within the mechanism of government that have carried out all of the atrocities that have happened over the last 100 years that have led the world directly to the position that we now find ourselves in. You know, when you look at it, folks, you begin to see that it's not even the people within the government. You know, the government are puppets, they're mouthpieces. That's why it doesn't matter if David Cameron leaves, because he's just a puppet. He's just doing the will of the ones who are pulling the strings above him, and the next puppet will do the same, or he won't get the position. If he gets in there and tries to do differently, he'll be assassinated, like JFK or whoever else they want to assassinate, Benazir Bhutto. You know, all these people, anybody who wants to do the right thing gets taken out. So there's no point depending on the system. We've got to see that it is the mechanism itself. It is the mechanism of government itself that is the problem. The system itself. And that system only functions due to our support for that system. You know, before they took Gaddafi out, what they'd done in Libya, Gaddafi had put together a system where the people actually governed themselves. He got to power and then he stepped back and he created communal centers where people would go and they would meet and they would decide what they wanted for their community, and then the government would finance it. He would pay for all education, he'd pay for all housing, he did everything he could. He transferred the assets of the country over to the hands of the people, and he allowed them to govern themselves. And that's why he was so dangerous. Now, everything we've been told is a lie, folks. Everything we're told by our governments and our media is a lie. These people are incredibly irresponsible, and you've got to wonder what makes them do it. Even in all of these false flag attacks that we see, all of these events that I listed, all of these government staged terrorist events, what makes the order followers actually do it when they know they're doing the wrong thing? They know they're going to blow up their own people and their own mosque or their own government facility in order to further a political agenda, and yet they do it anyway because they believe by following orders they're doing the right thing for their country. But they're not. They're just supporting criminal activity. They're supporting a criminal cabal. They're supporting pedophiles. They're supporting the worst scum of the world. People who were elected to positions of trust and who stand in abuse of that office that they hold. Truly the worst scum of the earth. And that's why order followers are a huge problem. And again, folks, the media is so complicit in these crimes against humanity. Without the complicity of the media, none of this could have happened. None of the people out there in the world who have sold all of this rubbish would ever have bought into the lie were it not for the media selling it to them in the first place. So that really is the world today, folks, a world of deception, a world that has been led very deliberately down the path that we're on and led very deliberately to the state that we are now in. It's all been built on deception and lies and government-sponsored false flag attacks that have been directed against people who have turned to these very same governments for protection. You know, the whole thing has been one big racket, folks, one big protection racket, same as the vaccine industry. That's just a protection racket. They give you these vaccines that make you sick, and the government says they're going to basically terrorize you if you don't take them. It's a protection racket. You need to get this protection or else you're going to get sick on the diseases that we're going to inflict upon you, or you're going to get sick when we put you in jail and beat the hell out of you and take your children away from you. The whole thing has been one big scam right from the start. It's time we called it out, and we at last have every opportunity we've ever needed to do so. So I say, let's do it. And in fact, that's what I think we are all here to do. That's what I think this time in history is. I think it is the time when humankind finally established freedom. But that is it for me, folks. We've reached the end of the show. I'm going to have to go now. Thank you to anybody who has ever supported the Crow House. Thank you to all those who signed up to the Patreon account. Thank you for sharing this time with me today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.